Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon and welcome to Blogger News on the Radio. My name is Simon Barrett and I'll be your host for the program. This is another in our News in Review series. And once again, we'll be looking at the mystifying cases out of Florida, Haley Anthony, Haley Cummings, and Angie DeZier. Joining me in the studio is my wife, Jan. Hi, Jan.
Hi, Simon. Hello, everyone.
Hello.
From Sin City, Nevada, we have the crime doctor, author and crime writer, Denny Griffin. Denny, it is always good to talk to you.
Oh, my pleasure, and glad to be with you again.
And from Gainesville, Florida, we have the director of news and programming for WSKY 97.3, TJ Hart. TJ.
Good afternoon, everybody.
Ah, you're back from your printer.
Yes.
Nowhere
close to my Twitter.
Right. You got to watch out for those Twitters.
Yeah.
We are not joined today by William, or as most of us call him, Bill Storbs. Bill decided that he needed to distance himself from the case. I do want to say this, and I know that I definitely speak for Jan and I, and very likely for everyone else on the panel and all of our listeners. Bill, we miss you, and we sincerely hope that you can fix everything that you need to fix. As always, our phone lines are open, and we welcome your comments and questions. The number to dial is area code 646-378-1120. And, of course, you're welcome to hang out in our chat room. Usually that gets a bit of a dust-up on occasions. Let's start off with the Haley Anthony case. There's been a couple of developments this week. Number one, a play opened. It actually opened in Australia, titled Top Mum, staged by Oscar-winning director Steven Soderbergh. He's probably better known for directing Ocean's 11, but it actually opened. Personally, I think this is the most distasteful project I could ever conceive of. Denny, did you hear about this?
All news to me. I wasn't aware. I knew they'd been talking about doing so. I didn't know it actually opened yet, though.
Oh, yes. It opened last night or sometime yesterday, I believe.
But only in Australia, right?
Right. And the interesting thing is that they have no actors or actresses playing the parts of any of the Anthony family, but apparently the major role is played by someone pretending to be Nancy Grace with an Australian accent.
Oh, for the love of God.
Hey,
Simon, I will not be able to sleep now.
I just can't imagine Nancy with a more objectionable accent than she already has.
Hey, Simon.
Go ahead.
If this doesn't go, if this is a flop, are they going to call it the Blunder Down Under?
Ooh. That could be. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to find any, in-depth reviews. But Click Orlando apparently did manage to dredge up someone that actually saw the play. And it's really not clear what it's all about, that there was a description of the set being lush swampland with a plastic bag full of bones, and various recordings, actual recordings, that were played from the Nancy Grace show. I mean, oh, just wonderful. I mean, the worst in taste I could possibly imagine. Okay, on a more serious note, Jan, something else happened this week. I believe Judge Strickland.
Yes, he did. He made a decision on the request from the defense team about throwing out the death penalty, the option for the death penalty. He's decided to let it stay. He said that the jury can make their mind up. It'll be put in as an option for them, and they will make their minds up, and he won't make that decision for them. So she still could, if she's found guilty, she could still possibly face a death penalty on it. So that, to me, is, I think it should be left on it. I'm not going to say that she should get the death penalty, but she definitely should. I sure hope she's found guilty, period. So, but I think if she's found guilty, if they don't go with the death penalty, they should put her in prison for life with no possible chance of parole.
Denny, I know that we've talked about this before. I mean, I personally see a very weak case for the death penalty. I mean, she's as guilty as sin in my mind, but I just cannot see how they can possibly hope to get that ruling.
I'm with you. I would be surprised if, assuming she's found guilty, I would. And I'm not going to say what my personal preference is, but I think realistically, if she's found guilty, that I would doubt that would actually be the penalty.
Yeah, I just can't personally see it. I mean, I think she deserves it, but oh, I shouldn't say that.
Well, I don't say that. I'm not, like I said, I'm not going to say whether I believe it, that she should or not either. But if she doesn't, I think the big mistake in all these life sentences is that they let them out for good behavior. They let them out within 15, 20 years. They're back out on the streets to do what they want again. And I don't believe that she should be. As far as that goes, I don't believe anybody that's given a life sentence should be let out on parole after so many years. Because what's the purpose of giving them a life sentence if they're going to let them out?
But there's another case that has been overlooked. I think that's probably the nicest way of approaching it. Aggie Dazier, as I understand it, he is now coming up on 1 year being missing.
January 10th will be 1 year. And the little boy, it's a sad story because he was with his grandmother at her house in, I knew I was going to forget, Immokalee, is that how you pronounce it?
Correct, it is.
Thank you. Florida. And he was staying with his grandmother while his mother was at work. And he was out playing with his little friends. And before the next thing they knew, the little boy was gone and has not been seen or heard from since. At the time, he was only 6 years old. He made 7 in October, I believe it was. But they haven't heard nothing from this little boy. And the sad part is that he's a special needs child. And, I mean, he's got the mental capacity of a 2-year-old. And he can only speak a few words of English. They say he can understand Creole, but he can't speak it. And there's only certain words that he does know. I think there's 5 words in English that the little boy does know. But, I mean, he's here lately. They have been giving him a little more attention as far as to try to find him. But the People's Magazine did a article on six of the missing children in the States. I believe they were all in the States. And they did use him on the, have his picture put up and featured him in the article that they had written. And I believe it was National Children's, I can't remember who the other one is. But they did give him some attention that he definitely did need. And now his parents, well, his mother, is desperately looking for him. She was pregnant at the time. And that's sad because now she's got a little girl that she's got to take care of. I believe she's 8 months old now. And she's got this little girl to have to take care of along with the worries of her little boy that's out there lost and nobody knows where he is. I mean, they haven't found no traces at all of him. And it's really sad for her. I feel sorry for her because this has got to be heartbreaking for her. I mean, to be happy for her little girl that she's got and now, you know, she's probably pulled. Well, she is pulled, no probably about it. She's pulled in between them and I just thought he'd be worth mentioning on here. If anybody's ever seen him or knows anything at all about this case, to please call. I believe it's the Collier County Sheriff's Department. Or, you know, just go to anybody that you know, any law enforcement, and tell them, you know, that's where you want to report this child. Because he should be found and brought home to his family. It's got to be heartbreaking for his mother. And all she can do is say thank you to everybody that has done what they can. But there's not much else she can do. She just continues praying that he will come home.
There are so many missing children, though. I mean, where do you put the effort in? You know, we here at Blogger News have decided to put our effort into, you know, Haley Cummings, and to a large extent, you've done the same thing, TJ. I mean,
yes.
You know, but there are thousands of cases. Why do so many of them just fall through the cracks?
I don't have an answer for that. I honestly don't. It's very sad. I did another story this morning about a little girl and her mother missing that I had reported about, I believe it was back in October, and you just don't hear nothing about them anymore. And I found out this morning she's still missing, and the mother's still missing, and they think that it's, you know, that they both could be in danger. And her family had scrounged up enough money. They scrounged up $2,000 to offer as an reward to anybody that can help find these two. And, you know, they're not getting any help. Nobody's helping them. It's like they just been forgotten about, and that's sad. I mean, who draws the line as to who gets all the help and who doesn't? It's just not fair.
Okay, let's move on to the Haley Cummings story. I think it's fair to say that this case has caused us all to have highs and lows. As I see it, there wasn't much that happened this week. More of the Crosling clan managed to get themselves in hot water, but...
And the Cummings clan, too.
Oh, and the Cummings clan. TJ, why don't you bring us up to date on the latest arrests in Putnam County?
Well, these have really absolutely nothing to do with the Haley case, but folks can't seem to, you know, avoid a train wreck. So for that purpose only, an uncle of Ronald got in a bit of a trouble. He was a bit intoxicated and discharged a firearm outside a tavern, one shot in the air, one shot in the ground. Nobody was hurt, but there's an inchworm that won't be moving too fast. And, of course, he had to go to the lockup for that. He was arguing with his own sister. And then I believe a cousin of Ronald's, a violation of probation, picked him up, I think, out of Ocala. And I think he's out at this point, I believe so. I didn't say what exactly he did to violate his probation, but the bail was only $504, so it didn't appear like it was too much of anything. But the thing is, you know, they got a revolving door there in Putnam County for a variety of different people, and unfortunately, in some of the counties here in Florida and other counties everywhere in the United States, there's always what you call that element of society who seems to be very familiar with the inner workings of the court system and the sheriff's office for a variety of different reasons. So, you know, this is not an anomaly by any stretch of the imagination, but most folks never, you know, visit that side of the equation. However, as an old principal of mine used to tell me, son, there's always going to be that certain 2% that do enough living for the rest of us.
You know, when I read the stories, I started to get an idea for a book.
You
know,
you did.
And before everyone beats me senseless saying, you know, you can't make money off a missing child, no, I'm not looking at doing that. I'm tentatively playing with the idea of the title, Anatomy of Dysfunction, the Crosland and Cummings family under review.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, there's a lot of families that could fit, that's for sure. Who will be driving the bus? No, we don't want to talk about buses.
Right. You know, I am still a very firm believer that all of the puzzle pieces are essentially in place. It's just we are not seeing them. And
yes.
Yet. You know, That there's some little piece of information that somehow we've overlooked. And I believe that the key really is in that first 72 hours. And if you revisit it with today's knowledge, you start to see a different picture emerge.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree, and I tell you, for the last 24, 36 hours, I've been doing nothing but, and I put the, well, you know, you published the darn thing, a bit of an article on bloggernews.net as well as the sky973.com that has a lot of media elements going back to Fox News, our publications, to our internet sites, and to a variety of different sources, which, by the way, folks, if you're going to get news, it's always best to get it from a variety of different sources. Therefore, you can make up your mind what exactly the truth
right.
is. So without any further ado, I figured, why don't we go back to the very beginning? Because people actually get confused over who made the 911 call, when was it made, what was it? What was going on there? And sometimes folks just they either forget or someone tells them something, and they start believing it without going back to check the facts. So I got this from Fox News, and I'm going to go ahead and play this this clip. It runs a couple of minutes, and it sets up everything here for the 911 call.
Going on for a 5-year-old girl who is missing in Florida. This little girl's name is Haley Cummings. She was last seen sleeping in her bed on Monday night. This is the crime tape around her house, and we've got a picture of her as well that we'll show you in a second. They are filled with unanswered questions right now. Her father, Ronald, begged for his daughter's return in an emotional plea to reporters.
Somebody stole my child from me.
Would she leave with nobody? Nobody. For no reason. At all. Somebody stole my child. They need to return.
Please, all we want is my child. That's it. I just want my daughter back. That's all.
Faulkner has the latest for us in Control Room 4. Harris.
4-year-old Ronald Cummings, he is the child's father, and I just got off the phone with a captain inside the Putnam County Sheriff's Department, and he tells me, and he can confirm, that they may be talking to that dad for a second day today. They're interviewing a lot of the family members of Haley Ann Marie Cummings to try to figure out whether or not she was taken. She may have walked out on her own. They're leaving all options on the table. Now, three things that they've done. They've rounded up most of those more than two dozen sex offenders that are registered in their neighborhood, along with the FBI. They've been working on that. The other thing is they are concentrating on the St. John's River. That is their main source where they're looking right now to see if they can find Haley Cummings. And in about 15 minutes, they're going to have a news briefing right there in Putnam County at the Sheriff's Department on the very latest, but I was able to get a lot of that to bring to you right now ahead of time. We just now have into the newsroom the 911 call. You saw the dad there. He lives with his girlfriend, Misty Croslin. She made the call, 3:30 a.m. She's crying a lot. You'll have to listen closely. Here it is.
I just woke up and her back door was wide open and my feet on the bed.
Okay, when did you last see her?
We were just like, you know, it was about 10 o'clock. She was sleeping, like, screaming.
Okay, how old is your daughter?
She's 5.
Okay, what was she last seen wearing? Ma'am?
She was in her pajamas. We were sleeping.
Now, you hear Ronald Cummings' voice in the background there. That obviously is not the child's mother, even though she does say that on the phone. She is the girlfriend. She's 17-year-old Misty Croslin. Again, police have talked with the family. They've also talked with her, and according to the captain inside the Sheriff's Department I spoke with, they may talk with her again. Now, here's the very latest in terms of how you can help. Take a look at the picture on your screen. Call the...
Okay, we got that from Fox News. Now, the thing that has happened is that so many times on the Nancy Grace show, you only hear Ronald's voice on those 911 calls, and referring to Misty as the B word and a few other things, but a lot of people didn't or have forgotten that Misty was the one who made that initial 911 call.
Right.
So,
do we actually know if it was on her phone or Ronald's, though?
That I don't have on that right now, and I should have done that before we put this together, shouldn't I? I probably have that in my notes in about a million files. But that is where we got it. We also had some folks rather concerned about what happened with the police radio calls, and I'll get to that here in just a second. My windows seem to need cleaning. But what had happened was that we had the police transmission, and also if you go to the bloggernews.net, and the sky973.com, you'll be able to pull down the reporter's notes, the update with a question mark, and that's because there hasn't been one in such a long time. And you can read along with the police calls, and you can get a good feel for what happened that night.
1271-265-708.
Green Lane. The complaint is to Vazen. She cannot find her 5-year-old daughter. The back door is open at this time.
151 code from Peters Intelligence.
51 code, Sierra 1120.
1026. Go ahead and advise Lima 1118. I believe she's in the squad room.
118. I'm 1026. Tonight, just a couple, 1051, before 1256. 36, can you run across the street? Buffalo Bluff Road to Tyler Street, left on Monroe Avenue. It's going to be in Satsuma.
0-1120. 0-1120. I got the age on this kid. Is it a boy or a girl?
Whiskey Foxtrot, last seen wearing her PJs.
Right,
1256. There's a railroad track that runs right through there. Can we find out from CSX when the next train comes through? 10-4, just past 3. Tyler Street, left on Monroe.
10-4, Buffalo Bluff, 10-4. 71 Buckingham, 10-9, sir.
Now, I'm going to stop this because it goes 11 minutes, but a lot of it had people concerned because they were talking about Tyler and Tyler and Tyler Road and Tyler Street and all of this. And Tyler, of course, is the reference to the trailer where the Crossins were staying. But it was also a divergent point there in the road where you go off to get to the back of the area of Hermit's Cove where Ronald's trailer was as well. Anyway, a lot of people were thinking that there was some kind of a disturbance going on there at the Tyler Road at residence, and I've really not gotten a concrete answer as to why an officer was at that address at any time, other than maybe that another call had come in, perhaps from that address, regarding the missing child. But once again, here we are. We're 10, 11 months into the situation, and little details like this, you know, police obviously have you want to think that they have the answers to all of this, but we sitting out here in the general public do not have the answers to this, and it seems like, well, you know, if these little tiny pieces of the puzzle are missing, what other tiny pieces of the puzzle are missing or in play as well? So that's why I kind of brought that up. As boring as that might have been, I really think that, you know, you really have to go back and really listen hard to some of these things that were brought up very early in the very first few minutes of this ordeal where a little girl disappeared.
I'll tell you what, TJ, I want to come back to 202 Green Lane. Let's take a couple of calls, though.
Let's do that.
We seem to have, ignited the switchboard. We have someone coming in from the 650 area code. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Yes, my name is Jim, and I just wanted to say I have a really big penis. I can suck my own cock.
Splendid. Everyone needs a hobby. Let's see if we can't find a slightly more sensible person. Someone from the 774 area code.
Hello, my name is Jim, and I also have a big penis. I can suck my own cock.
Splendid. Yeah, I do enjoy people that you know, have hobbies. Not sure that was particularly called for. So let's go back to 202 Green Lane. That is not the trailer. TJ?
Yes.
202 is,
I think it was 302.
It's not the trailer, is it?
The mobile home. Ron lived in a mobile home there on Green Lane, but I believe it was 302, if I'm not mistaken.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who lives at 202? Or was that a mistake?
Again, there were a lot of mistakes. There were a couple of Barney Fifes involved in that call, if I'm not mistaken. A lot of things took place there with a few other bumbles and fumbles with the police calls in the beginning. And once again, the identification, of course, they didn't really have anything to go by, and you heard the Fox reporter straighten it up that Misty was not the mother of the child, although she claimed to be. And evidently one of the officers on the scene thought the same thing as well. So you've got a lot of confusion going on here. And nobody, and this is why we're going back there, because I found myself shaking my cobwebs too. I'm going to have to go back and undo every file I own on this and start piecing this up again from the beginning, for the simple fact that too much time has taken to get this resolved, to find this young lady. And the hard part is, and this is where people, you sit there and say, oh, you just like those people with the badge. You just suck up to the cops. Well, you know what? They're eventually going to be the ones that has to solve this. But I can sympathize with them a little bit. They don't have all that much to work with. They have a lot of things that were in play. They had perhaps maybe not the brightest people in the world to work with, or maybe folks who weren't exactly trained up properly to be taking this at the very first steps of the investigation, too. There were a lot of things that just got bumbled from the very beginning because of inaccurate information that was given to them. So you go out and you start talking to a lot of these people who have now become characters in this. You go back to a situation where a cousin Joe was in play. He came from Tennessee with a lady, stayed down in the area for a brief while, and then when all this started hubbing and bubbing and getting going, he called her and said, yeah, we got to get back, you know, and she picked him back up and they went back to Tennessee. He's been questioned several times by the FDLE and also by the FBI, and they can't find any reason to hold him, but you get to looking at this character and what happened on that day or the day before. Well, there was a discussion about a gun, and evidently that fight got a little out of hand, and Ron finally found his gun. It was wound up in a ditch. It had thrown up in a little bit of a ditch. He got it back, but what the hell was that all about? Nobody really got to the bottom of that. In fact, Ron was on TV denying that there was even an argument. So that cast a little bit of a doubt on some of the things that he says. You cast a lot of doubt on the things that Misty's been saying all along, for the simple fact, one, the first thing out of her mouth was, I'm her mother. And then the other things that she has said about her timeline getting into the events of the night don't match up with the evidence that's been presented. And she's really not told the same story twice. We get into the story that Stobbs brought forth to me and then later to Art Harris about the partying that took place the weekend before, with Nene and with Amber Brooks and with Greg Page and all these other people who got their 15 minutes of fame here. How does that play into this? Well, Greg Page has been picked up a couple of times. He's been questioned a few times. You know what? They got nothing on Greg Page. I mean, he's still walking around a free guy. Nene, she's been in and out like a swinging door in that Putnam County jail. Got really nothing on her in this case. You know, so she's free as a breeze. And Amber Brooks, you know, I still, there's some things in there that we don't know about her. However, we do know that she has a child, and that child has been said to be fathered by Ronald Cummings. Now, does this have anything to do with another child being abducted? No one really knows for sure. Has there been some flare-ups with those two? Yeah, you hear things on the street, but nothing that you can confirm. There was evidently a fight that broke out, some spitting words over the MySpace with Misty and with Amber. I got your baby, I got your man, and all that kind of stuff. And then I believe that Amber's mother had gotten into fisticuffs with Misty. That is yet to been resolved. So you go into these things that are leading up to the case. You got all of these things that are in play, and suddenly you're watching the law enforcement trying to gather this in such a mercurial fashion, but nobody really appears to be telling the truth. And it all started on day one, continued on day two, and continued on throughout. And this is where it gets frustrating. You'll wonder to yourself aloud, what's more important, finding a child or what the cops might find on me personally?
Yeah, and that's a scary one. Let's take another caller and hope that it isn't someone with, you know...
Double jointed?
Yeah. Caller from the area code 510. What's your name and what's your question or comment for us?
Well, hi. My name is Alex. I was just calling because I really, really wanted to tell you guys that I have a engorged, deliciously...
Okay.
Hey, Simon.
Yeah.
I need to butt in here for just a second and tell you the reason you heard me chuckling in the background. First of all, I thought you handled these calls very well, but it just so happens next month I'm doing a domestic abuse show, and it's going to involve late porn star Johnny Wad Holmes. So I couldn't help but odd that they would happen to call in with these hobbies, right? when I got that thing upcoming, so I just wanted to tell you why it struck me funny.
Hey, Denny, while we have you here, you got your crime doctor hat on, as we all know. But man alive, I mean, you've been through these investigations before. The first few hours of these things are always critical.
Mm-hmm.
Very. And like you said, if I can steal the floor here for a minute.
Please do.
What I'd like to do, maybe if we have time during the show today, is go back and we were talking about going back to day one and taking a look if was something missed early on and so forth. I would like to do that because I get a lot of questions, you know, and you guys are much closer to this thing than I am, but there are several things that bother me. And perhaps between us and the folks in the chat room, maybe we can rule some things in or rule some things out or do a little brainstorming. But, it's certainly critical times to begin with, and a lot of, at least in my mind, things that haven't made sense, and TJ just mentioned, there apparently was a lot of lying going on here. None of the stories seem to really mesh or gel as they should have. And... one other thing I'll mention is I have talked to people both via internet and chat rooms and so forth, and I think I saw a comment on the BNN, on one of Simon's posts on the BNN, and it goes like this. The gist is the cast of characters involved here, none of them seem to be rocket scientists. And the thought is that a sharp investigation should be able to crack this case, that these people don't have apparently unlimited funds for a team of high-priced lawyers and so forth, and that a lot of them are maybe they're street smart, but they're not the brightest bulbs on the block, and that somebody, so some people, I think, are questioning the quality of the police involved, not their desire, not their wanting to get this thing resolved, but are questioning the quality. I'm not sure that's a fair criticism, but I know I've heard it, and I've seen it written in various places, and maybe we could address that. Are these people that are involved in this thing, the Cummingses, the Croslins, and in-laws and outlaws and all these people, are these people that sophisticated and that sharp that they should be able to hold law enforcement at bay for going on, well, about 11 months now? Is that...
And Denny, I'll tell you flat up, they're just average people for the most part. Some, you know, the older ones are a little bit wiser, I guess, in the world. The younger ones certainly know the playing field of cops and law enforcement and things like that, but they don't have their juris doctors, I'll tell you that. They've just had some familiarity with it. So, you know, we're looking at... folks with probably, you know, a little bit, the younger ones, somewhat below par smarts. And they can't be that. They can't be that bright to keep law enforcement, you know, guessing like this. So I keep coming back to the X factor on this. And I hinted at it earlier, and I said it on a previous show. The X factor to me is that Cousin Joe. And I know they have not arrested that guy, and I know that they've talked to him. But my golly, you know, here's a guy who's got a penchant for just being a not nice person, who has robbed and used the M.O. with the bricks on the door before. And according to statements made to Cobra Straps from Timmy Crosland, you know, the guy likes to do bizarre things with animals, kill them and feed them to the alligators. Does that make him a person that would like to maybe take a little girl or a human? Well, you keep reading up on these people like a Jeffrey Dahmer, who started out torturing animals before he started having his friends for dinner, literally. So, you know, is it that much of a step? Is it that much of a reach to still have in your mind that this guy fits the profile pretty darn well? What else can we do to shake this loose? Well, we've seen the Putnam County Sheriff's Office put pressure, and I believe appropriately, on the Cummings clan to see what they can shake loose. Well, right now you've got Tommy looking at two different situations here, one including the possible theft of a gun, Mama with uttering a forged instrument, writing a check for $400 off a blind man's account. You got Daddy for doctor shopping, and a whole host of other things. You got a domestic violence case thrown in there as well. The only person they really don't have anything on right now is Misty. And that seems to really just fry everybody's taters.
TJ, let me say this. Going along with the same train of thought about the caliber of the players here, I remember that one of the ways they attacked the mob here in Las Vegas was they started enforcing vehicle and traffic laws diligently with these guys. They had them all under surveillance. And if they were speeding, they got stopped. If they made a U-turn illegally, they got stopped. But they didn't just get stopped. They were actually arrested. Instead of just given a summons, they were arrested. Their cars were towed, and they were taken down to the Juzgado, and they were booked in and run through at least to get positive ID and so forth. And the former commander of the Intelligence Bureau here told me, he said, in addition to to disrupting their operations, he said most of these guys, the street levels, the soldiers, if you will, were not particularly bright. He said you never knew what somebody was going to say when you had them in the back of that patrol car. So it seems to me where I'm having trouble here is that with all these various people who may not be that sophisticated, that somebody by this point in time, after almost 11 months, would have even accidentally said something. You know what I mean? Just a open mouth, insert foot situation. And it's hard to believe that after all this time that nobody, with all these people that apparently have been interviewed and questioned and so forth, that they're that good, that none of them have said anything incriminating to themselves or to someone else. Because I think we've talked in the past that, okay, you know, probably some of these people may not have done the deed, but they know more than they're saying. They know something. And it's I don't know, I just have trouble with this, that there's almost this total lack of any real progress. It just, I don't know, I'm very surprised, I guess.
Well, I think everybody is surprised at this level. And the frustration goes to a lot of people blame law enforcement. I don't know that that's necessarily the ones they need to be upset with. Personally, I'm upset with who in the heck took this baby. I'm also upset with those who may have some information who aren't coming forth with it, you know, and I think we all share that. But, you know, you're right. You know, these folks are not rocket scientists, and no matter how much shaking has been taking place, the only person ever said anything that might have moved the ball forward was when Tommy was incarcerated, and he claimed that when he went down to bang on the door of the mobile home that Misty wasn't there. That no one was there. And you can take that for what it was worth, because that goes back to a possible agenda. After all, dear darling little sister had just put a temporary restraining order on his fantanny.
Mr. Dason, can you please turn down your computer speakers?
Simon.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't want to monopolize it, but sometime maybe before we get off, I'd like to raise the issue for discussion of motive. And I've got my ideas or questions about some things, and maybe we could hash those around and see if anything makes sense.
Absolutely. As soon as Mr. Dayson turns his speakers down, we will put him on the air.
This isn't Lieutenant Dayson.
Lieutenant Dayson, are you with us?
Hello?
Hello? I'm guessing you're using Skype or something. Okay.
Don't listen to yourself on the screen because it takes a while and you'll throw yourself off.
Right. Well, let's move on. It was coming in from Skype.
Okay.
Yeah. I will say this, and I hate to do this, but due to the enormous disruption that some idiot seems to want to cause us today, I would suggest that you register with Blog Talk Radio, enter our chat room, and ask your question there. That way, that there can be no mistakes. Denny, you wanted to talk about some stuff.
Yes. I wanted to raise the issue for discussion with the panel and hopefully through the chat room of motive. And I'm giving you my perspective. It used to be back in the old days when you thought of a kidnapping and abduction, it was for ransom. It was a financial gain. Somebody wanted the family or the company or whatever to pay a pretty hefty price to have their victim returned. Okay, I would say that doesn't apply to this case because, as far as I know, I've never heard anything about a ransom note or somebody wanting money. Am I missing something or is that accurate?
I think that's entirely accurate. I have never heard of any ransom note. Have you, TJ?
No, it's not totally inaccurate at all.
Okay. So ruling out the straight financial kidnapping or abduction, I remember fairly early on there was some talk that somebody that Ronald had, maybe some shady friends, or he owed somebody money for drugs or whatever, and somebody wanted to send a message, and they were going to take his daughter to punish him. Well, upon further reflection of that, it's my feeling that if you wanted to scare him or tell him, look, you pay up or here's what can happen, you would take the girl for maybe a couple of hours just to prove you could, maybe a couple of days, to prove you could do it, to send a message, hey, anytime I want to, I can grab your kid, so you better jack up what you owe me, or you better do what I want you to do. Other than that, to take, assuming you don't want to kill the child, to take this child and now have to care for her, have to keep her concealed, obviously you can't be taking her out all over town. She apparently had some health issues, so she's going to require some type of care. And who's paying for that? I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me that would have been the motive, that somebody's trying to send him a message or collect a debt or that type of thing, because why would you take Haley long-term, which we're going on 11 months now, assuming she's alive. So I kind of discount that. I just don't, to me, it doesn't add up. Then there was the talk of, well, maybe it was orchestrated by a family member, a custodial thing that wanted to. It seems to me that since that was out there fairly early on, that the police would have been, by this time, able to track those stories down or those allegations down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many relatives can there be? How many homes can there be where they could have the child concealed? And obviously, she hasn't been found, so you got to think that she's, if that's the scenario, that whoever's got her is keeping her close under wraps. Now, a loving family, if this was that situation, obviously they would want to provide for her in the way of food and medical care and that type of thing. But it just seems as though there'd be relatively limited number of locations she could be at if it was a family thing. And they should, after 10 or 11 months, have been checked out by now. So I'm wondering now, where does that leave us? Most people don't think it was a stranger abduction. They think that whoever, not necessarily family, but there was somebody who knew the Cummings and Crosland people, mm-hmm. at least knew them, knew that where their home was located, knew the situation of the family makeup. So what was the motive from there? If I'm right, or if I'm making any sense, and it was not a financial thing with a stranger abduction for ransom, and I think Ronald Cummings would have been a relatively poor target if you're looking to hold ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And if the other thing, the revenge, sending a message, trying to collect a debt issue, doesn't add up, where are we there now? Where are we motive-wise with a realistic, sensible motive?
Well, you've got two directions here. You've got, and this is why I come back to the possibility of this Cousin Joe, and this is why he's factoring in. There was reports of an argument with Ronald and with this Cousin Joe character. How it was resolved? Well, a missing gun was found in a ditch eventually. So maybe you got somebody there who's thinking that he's going to show Mr. Cummings a lesson. Maybe he's going to, jerk with him one more time just to show him who's who. This guy's got a criminal past. This guy seems to have a passion for really kind of bizarre, exotic stuff with animals. And allegedly, had a little bit of a thing for younger female people, minors. So, what does that put into play? The guy had been at the house a couple of times. In fact, you'll hear Mrs. Neves on a couple of clips from the news say, and a few others as well, saying, "We didn't see a sign on the guy. We didn't know. We had no idea this guy was like that. We just didn't know." However, Misty did. Misty knew the guy's story. So I keep coming back to that perhaps this was somewhat of a revenge over hurt feelings, not over money, not over anything else, but over somebody's little pride issue. And as silly as that sounds, that might be where it all boils down to.
TJ, let me say this. I agree. I mean, I've come by process of elimination, at least the way my mind works, that somebody like this Joe character may be involved with the bad. Well, obviously the whole thing's bad, but what's really bad about that, I can't see a guy like Uncle Joe or whatever he is, Cousin Joe, holding her and keeping her in good health for 11 months.
And this is where I think now I get sick. I get very sick, and my body hurts when I think of this. I get thinking that Cousin Joe decided that maybe he was going to do some vile things.
Mm-hmm.
And once the vile things were acted upon, that maybe he decided that, and this is just a theory, that he had to destroy the evidence. A better place to destroy the evidence than where the hungry gators lurk.
Unfortunately, because we've been debating for almost 11 months now of whether Haley is alive, I think we've all know that as time goes by,
it's not
the odds are more against it. But when you couple this time that's gone by with a possible motive of what we're talking about now, that really is, like you say, it's a sickening feeling. But the scenario you're using with this Joe guy, look at Cooey. Remember, Cooey did the abduction to do some vile things. And then at the end, he says, "Hey, wait a minute. I got to get rid of this evidence." And so I wish to heck it was a financial thing where somebody said, hey, I'm keeping the kid in good shape, you know, give me $1 million and then I'll bring her home. Or it was a case where somebody just wanted to get Ronald's attention to try to collect a debt or get his cooperation in a drug deal or whatever, and said, hey, okay, you know I can get the kid anytime I want. Now I prove that to you. Here she is. From now on, you do what I tell you to do. But by discarding those motives and getting into what we're talking about now with some sicko perhaps being involved, and, you know, following the thing, a non-stranger, somebody that was familiar with the people and so forth, and that, I find, is, to me, makes the most sense for the motive and what may have happened, but it's also the scariest, because I think if that's true, that greatly diminishes the odds for a successful recovery.
Yes, I agree. I tell you what, it's hard because I try to be analytical, Denny, as you know, but as a father and a grandfather, I always want the best result, and sometimes the best result it might not be there, and I have to stop being so Pollyanna and insisting that things turn out the best. They're going to turn out the way they're going to turn out, and I have to face that. But in covering the story, there have just been so many wrong turns, so many. Just about the time that you think that there's going to be something break, somebody shows their butt, and the sideshow takes off, and there you go, and it's almost on cue. And that's what has me really puzzled, is that why so many players in this scenario find it necessary to act the jackass at about the time some real progress is going to be made. And it almost seems like they're just waiting to come on stage and, oh, getting close, bang, time for somebody to be the butt. And it's, if it wasn't so damn vile and so damn heart-wrenching, it would be the ideal script for a TV reality show.
I
believe that some of these people, honest to God, think that that's what it is to them. It has transcended beyond the missing child. It has become their own personal reality shows.
Unfortunately, I think, TJ, you're right on with all of this stuff, and it's very upsetting, very scary. Simon, I don't know if you and Jan have any thoughts or maybe poke some holes in my logic here, or maybe people in the chat room have come up with some alternative explanations or whatever.
Oh, I think your logic holds water. everything I'm seeing and everything I'm, you know, hearing from you and I'm hearing from TJ and I hear from other people, it's the same darn story. I mean, you've got a bunch of folks that are either out for, you know, their 15 minutes of fame, you know, or they're just too darn dumb to realize that this isn't a great place to find those 15 minutes.
No. Another thing that has come up, and I know that many of the people who read bloggernews.net and thesky973.com feel the very same way, and it's called frustration. And many of them are starting to catch on firsthand just how frustrating it is for reporters to get information that's being held close to the vest. In fact, a person who is quite a follower of this story, took it upon this person's self, I'm not going to identify gender or anything here, to write the Putnam County Sheriff's Office and ask, why in the heck is it you cannot, under the Florida Sunshine Laws, tell us any more information? Why are you being so dad blasted quiet? I'm going, rock on! I'm dying to see this. But I very much knew the answer. But I think that it was good that this person actually got the chance to make the request, to put down what pretty much looked like a demand to me, and then to get a response. But I will tell you, the response was a little awkward. Most of it was what I was expecting. Now, this is, appears on the bloggernews.net and also the sky973.com. And this comes from Lieutenant Greenwood, with whom I've had some discussions in the past. Most of them positive, a couple of them, well, let's put it this way, I think I made the vein on the side of his head bulge out a couple of times, totally not knowing why, but I did upset him. It reads, this correspondence is to an is an acknowledgement of receipt of your public records request for all information regarding the Haley and Marie Cummings investigation. Florida Statute 119 clearly states that the active criminal investigative information is exempt from disclosure, in quotation marks, as long as it is related to an ongoing investigation which is continuing with a reasonable good faith anticipation of securing an arrest or prosecution in the foreseeable future, end quote. I have that on tape from Lieutenant Greenwood more times than you guys could count.
Right, and actually, Jen has a...
No.
Oh, Jen doesn't have a question.
No.
Oh, okay.
This investigation is currently active and considered exempt from disclosure. And he puts on the rules as they are. And when it gets to the second page of this, you'll find that he gets a little little terse, and he says that your threat of filing a complaint with the Florida State Attorney General's office, if your request is not satisfied, as noted, your statement, quote, there is no arrest or charges to be filed in the foreseeable future, end quote, is very uninformed and irresponsible. Investigators regularly receive information and conduct interviews and will eventually lead them to the truth regarding Haley's disappearance. And there was some question as to whether or not he was referring to an issue that had gone on for 4 months or 9 months or 10 months. But Mr. Greenwood sometimes doesn't get his timeline straight. But ironically enough, nobody in this case does.
Let's go back to the timeline, because I still believe, and I honestly believe, that the key lies in that first 72 hours. You know, you put up an article earlier today. You've played a couple of sound clips.
Mm-hmm.
What else have you got for us?
Let me go back to that if I can find it here. I'm very good at blipping my own stuff, if you know what I'm saying. that didn't sound right either, and that wasn't intentional, folks. I am working with a variety of different screens, and as you all know, I'm technologically challenged. This all had decided it was going to change about the time I made friends with the pet rock and the leisure suit. So, you know, I am trying to get up to speed here. Let's go to another thing that was kind of inconsistent. Let's go to Jeff Hardy, Sheriff Jeff Hardy. He's going to talk about nobody's been cleared. And this is before the big incident.
The rock and the leisure.
So let's get to that if we can, please. All righty. Where are you, sir? Okay, here we go. It'll take about 15 seconds for some things to buffer. But as we well know, that on Haley's birthday, it was August 17th when Lieutenant Greenwood issued a press release saying that Ronald and Crystal had maybe not have been cleared, but they were certainly at the bottom of the list of suspects. They were not considered suspects at that time, but not officially cleared. But as we go back in time here, we're going to hear him lay it out on the table that there are a lot of people that they have to look at, and it won't be until after everything is said and done that they'll be putting anybody in cuffs. And so far that has been that way to this date. So right now let's go to Sheriff Hardy, courtesy of Fox News.
Thank you.
When I get to Florida now, we're right now an air, ground, and water search is on for this little 5-year-old girl who has been missing since Monday. Haley Cummings is her name. She was last seen Monday night, and her father...
Now, this is from Thursday, the 12th of February.
She was kidnapped. He came home from working the late shift, he says, to find her missing. His girlfriend had been watching his two kids. The girlfriend says she was sleeping in the very same room with Haley and her brother. The girlfriend reportedly told a 911 operator that a back door to the home that was usually locked had been propped open by a brick. So what are investigators going on at this point? Putnam County Sheriff Jeff Hardy joins us now. Sheriff, thank you for being here. Do you believe the story that's being told by Haley's dad and his girlfriend?
Jane, we've got an extensive investigation going on to include ground search, air search, and search by water. And we're looking at all aspects of the investigation.
Anybody ruled out as a suspect at this point?
No, we haven't ruled anybody out. We're still in the extensive process of interviewing family members and tips as they come in. We're actively pursuing all leads.
Can you verify the story, Sheriff, about the door being propped open?
Well, Jane, what we do know is when we received the 911 call that the child was missing the residence, when the officers showed up, they did find the rear door ajar. The door was ajar. It was just open a little bit, and there was a screen door that was propped open, and the child was obviously missing.
And the story that the girlfriend actually was in the same room, and according to some, that she was actually in the same bed with Haley and her brother, does that ring true?
Jane, that's the information that we have, yes.
What clues, Sheriff, are you going on today? Initially, there had been report about potentially one footprint out there.
I heard this from another reporter. We have not received any information of a footprint that was out there. That's bad information.
Any trace of her, of Haley? What can you go on?
Jane, I have a very bad connection with you. Would you try that again?
Sure. Any trace of her? What do you have to go on at this hour?
Well, what we're doing is we've called out our CART team, which is our child abduction response team, and we brought out over 130 law enforcement and search personnel. And what we're going on is the fact that we have searched a very large area around the residence to include all the residences in the area. And of course, again, we're receiving some tips. We've conducted numerous polygraph investigations and tests. And we're in the process of, late last night, we were out interviewing people. We've been here since early this morning. So, again, as the leads come in, we're following them up, and we have a lot of personnel, again, on scene here today.
And, of course, what you're hearing there from that, which was Thursday, 12th of February, 09, what has changed in this? Really not much other than they talked to 250 sex offenders in the entire area at that time, and they found them to be clean, including a possible sex offender in the name of Daniel Snodgrass. And that name pops up every now and then, too, as a possible suspect in this case. And this is where I'm going to challenge folks on this one, too. This is a guy who allegedly had some kind of a business relationship in one way, shape, or form or another with Misty, and that he had a friend that often would take care of some business with his permission because his limited areas of where he could and could not go. Does this guy come into play? I mean, this guy was out on $70,000 bond. He was charged with capital sexual battery on two children, a 9-year-old girl and the older sister. You know, does this guy factor in? And are those ankle bracelets accurate when it comes to being able to trace where they are in their movements? I put that out to the floor.
Oh, I don't think they're particularly accurate. I think there are numerous examples that they can be fooled, faked, or even taken off.
Danny, did you ever, in your travels, ever witness someone with one of those ankle bracelets, those monitoring bracelets?
I had no personal experience, but I've talked to people who have. And, and I guess if you know enough, there are ways that you can pull things with those, that they can be defeated. But overall, they're looked at as real good. But I guess if a person wants to bad enough and has the resources and the knowledge, there are ways to deceive them.
Well, talking about Snodgrass in particular, the deal with him, it seems to be that he's using an older device, and it doesn't have the accuracy of the tracking devices that we have today.
Well,
you know, I was taken down to Slidell by a family member, and she had one of those, you know, great little GPS devices, and I was watching it, and I was watching the roads fly by. I mean, it was spot on, but these ankle devices don't seem to have quite the same accuracy.
Wow, that's a little frightening. It's a little frightening indeed. You know, another thing that comes into play here, and it got a lot of attention in, what, August, September, was a jailhouse letter that Nene Pervant had sent to her boyfriend, and her boyfriend had then taken it to Greg Page's mother. Greg Page's mother decided that maybe other folks ought to know about this. So Cobra first contacted her, and I was in receipt of that jailhouse letter that talked about a guy by the name of Joe Pytko and some kind of a sworn affidavit that said that there was a party going on, that the child had ingested some Roxy's, died, was taken to a pond, and dumped in a black bag and then into the pond by Greg Page. Now, that created a lot of hysteria, and I will tell you that there were some misdirection plays going on that day and that night when that letter had come out a couple of days afterwards. But we had been told by several people that the pond at the Mondex, one of the ponds at the Mondex near Palatka, was being drained. I called the law enforcement. What are you talking about? No. They're looking for all-terrain vehicles and some other things in a robbery. There was a pot bust on shore just not too far away from there. That had nothing to do with the baby. 10 o'clock that freaking Friday night, after I'm getting text messages from everybody and their brother I know in Putnam County, including a few family members, anybody who's anybody at Headline News in Atlanta and New York, blowing up my phone, and all I could tell him was, hey, look, they told us that we had something to do with the drug bust. I get my answer at 10 o'clock at night with Major Bowling. Yeah, we're looking for evidence of Haley Cummings. They didn't say we're looking for Haley Cummings. We're looking for evidence in the case concerning Haley Cummings, which prompted Sheriff Hardy to say there was some miscommunication and this and that and the other and a bunch of other bull roar. I'm still a little steamed at that, but it turned out that absolutely nothing came from it, and folks were claiming that they drained the wrong pond. And I don't know what to even think about that. Who do you get frustrated at that? I mean, that's a great deal of expense. They had the folks from Georgia Pacific and a few other folks volunteering, helping out, and undergoing a big deal like that. And then to have some of the Shiny Shoes folks who sit in the front office bitch and complain that this had nothing to do whatsoever with the jailhouse letter and this and that. And even if it did, we wouldn't tell you anyway. So there. You know. But anyway, that took place, and that got people really jacked up, thinking the worst had happened. But going back down that avenue, is it still a dead-end avenue when you think about the party people that Misty might have been hanging out with at that time, the weekend prior to the disappearance of the youngster? And I'm mulling this over, and I'm not seeing any kind of connection unless this one really bad guy who was released from a prison that they called, Al Capone or Crazy Al or something like that. I don't know how he got out, but he got out. whether or not he was calling in, you know, some kind of a play from the box, if you want to use a football term. He had knowledge of all of the players in this little gang, and I don't know. I mean, there's a big question mark there. Not a whole lot's been said about this fella. A whole lot's been said about one of his associates, Jerome Williams, who ran that little whorehouse behind the Huddle House, the little house behind the house, off Krill Avenue, down there in the in Palatka as well. A little apartment had three beds in it, three naked chicks, and the gals had to surrender their clothes until they earned enough money to get their clothes back in order to have, you know, room and board for the night. slavery, if you ask me, or indentured servitude, but we'll find out when his case comes to be. But you go down that avenue and you find nothing but dead ends there, too.
I think what you find is that every avenue you explore makes your eyes just want to roll up in their head,
mm-hmm.
but they don't lead anywhere. That there's got to be something that leads somewhere.
Yeah, there is. I mean, Tim Miller with Texas EquiSearch has had a great deal of successes in his life. But when he got into this mess, he got into a mess I don't think that guy ever wants to come back to be quite honest with you. I mean, he's getting gal pals for Misty to hang around with, and there's still some speculation of whether or not this road rage incident was staged and what have you. You've got the hypnosis and the regression and the voice stress analysis that he used with T.J. Ward, and those things come up. And what does it tell you? It doesn't tell you anything that you didn't already know, that this girl doesn't quite have a timeline laid out, and that she pretty much failed the polygraph exam because she couldn't remember what exactly happened, wasn't sure of what exactly happened, or perhaps could be holding back something that actually happened or didn't happen. And then we have this other group, the Laura Recovery Group. I haven't heard boo as to whether or not they're going to come in and or if they've been invited in to help search for the child.
Actually, when
the help comes knocking on the door, you need to make sure that the help gets all the help they can get. And once again, people start showing their butt every time it looked like something was going to break when Miller had his group here as well.
Okay, let's talk about the Laura group. What's the story behind them?
There was a girl by the name of Laura, I think Smithers, that disappeared, and it was a small town in Texas, and it was put together in her memory. It had anything to do, to my understanding, to Tim Miller's daughter Laura, and it's a very small group, and they depend on a lot of goodwill and a lot of fundraising. And in fact, there's a small town in Texas. The 12th of December was last I'd spoken to anybody about it. Really, they were doing some kind of a fun run and walk to raise money for that group. So the whole community was behind it, but they never bothered to respond to my inquiries after I talked to the first representative. And I, you know, far as I know, that the group has not been invited or is not one way or another coming up at this point. I haven't heard anything definitive as to whether or not they've changed their mind, or if they're going to, or if monetary concerns come into play or what.
Do you recall who it was that broke the story that they were going to come to town to help search?
I was told by two ladies, one from, I believe, Tennessee, and the other one, I can't remember where she was from, but they had contacted this group, but the group had written back to one of the ladies stating that they need to be invited by family and law enforcement, and in one of the response letters, they said law enforcement had turned them away at one time, and I spoke with folks from law enforcement. They said they never heard of the group at that point. They did not know who that was, and they don't recall ever getting an inquiry from them. So,
well, isn't it also fair to say that you know, it was fairly widely reported that Tim Miller was told to take a hike?
it was reported that way, but if you do some other searching and you do some other talking and you take a look at a few of the other stories on that, they had scaled back the search, the ground search for Haley. There was really nothing for him to do. And he had a paying gig in the Carolinas that he'd been putting off, and, you know, that operation runs on money, too. So it kind of, you know, when they said that we're scaling back the ground search, that was a pretty handy little exit to go off to North Carolina to find a potential another person that they'd been summoned to help.
But wasn't it also true that... I don't think I want to go down that line.
Okay, I can be wrong. I mean, I'm a human. I make mistakes. I admit it.
Yeah, I was about to launch off on a branch that someone's going to come along with a hacksaw and go,
"Oh, okay.
No, you're not." But I'm still firmly believing that the key is in those first 72 hours. Denny,
yes.
What are we missing?
That's a good question, Simon. I wish I had the answer, but I agree with you. I think it's got to be there. There's got to be something in those early stages that was overlooked or wasn't considered important at the time. And I think a few weeks ago, TJ mentioned that he had heard, I think it was TJ, that the Sheriff's Department was getting some fresh eyes, and they were going back to square one and kind of reviewing everything. And I think that's got to be the way it's done. I think something is there, like you say, and it's got to, somebody's got to go back, maybe different people with a new perspective or whatever, but I think somebody's got to go back and find it.
I think what's missing primarily is the truth in the first 36 to 72 hours.
Yeah, well, you know, let me ask you this. If the lies can be documented, if it can be proved that people were lying, I know it's a kind of a BS charge, but most places have some type of an obstruction thing if you obstruct an investigation or lie to the police or something like that, a misdemeanor probably, but can anything like that be used to try to pressure the liar if they've got him dead to rights?
Oh, boy.
There's got to be some way to move somebody.
You know something, Denny? There are a lot of people who read the blogs, you know, and read bloggernews.net and sky973.com all the time, and they have been praying for someone to invoke that, to find a kind-hearted judge to get Misty to park it behind bars until she can come up with a clearly defined timeline. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have just been praying for that to happen. And I keep getting told over and over and over again, if you're fighting a war and it looks like you're clearly going to win a battle, but it might cost you the entire game, but you could win the battle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you win the battle and jeopardize the outcome of the war?
Yeah, well, no doubt. You got to, before they act, they have to know what they could gain and what they could lose. No
oh, yeah.
About it. You know, my thought was that if it's not a matter of charging someone, okay, if the goal isn't to charge someone, but the goal is to find alive Haley, then maybe you got to make a deal with the devil to do that, and maybe risk a prosecution down the line. But to get her back safely was something that I would think be considered. But if other than that, you know, I don't know. It's without knowing the inside game, it's all speculation, of course, but I don't know. Just, again, like you mentioned, frustration. This is frustrating.
Well, isn't it possible that now Misty has had her 18th birthday, and I'm sure she had a wonderful time. couldn't they just, like, slap on a whole raft of charges like they did with Kaylee Anthony. You know, in the Kaylee Anthony case, they got the mum for child neglect. And that's a fairly serious one. I mean, couldn't they slap on a child neglect, you know, for Misty? Uh-oh. Everyone's gone quiet.
I would think they could. See?
Yeah, I'm thinking you could because the evidence is there. A child's gone, you know. There is plenty of evidence.
Well, they just arrested not long ago a guy that was arrested that the little boy had walked out of the door and nobody had seen him since. And they arrested him for child neglect because of that. And they don't say that he's involved with the disappearance of the child, but they did arrest him because the child was in his care and the child disappeared.
Well, you know, here you are. If you're asleep and you're supposed to be doing the right thing, shouldn't you be locking your house? And if there's no forced entry detected in that back door, your house wasn't locked, are you in neglect at that point?
Oh, I understand the...
There's two ways you can look at this either way, you know. I mean, one way she would look like, it, you know, she was responsible for it, and another way you look at it, and it's like, well, you know, it really wasn't her fault if what we're hearing is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
But is it the truth? You know...
No one knows, and that's why I said the big element that's missing from the first 72 hours is the truth.
Right.
Absolutely. In fact, I'd like to move that first 72 hours up a few more hours. I mean, we don't even know who picked the girl up from the school bus.
Now you got different stories on that too.
Depending on who you talk to, it was Ronald or it was Misty.
Give it time, it'll be Sasquatch.
Yeah, right.
If I sound a little jaded on this, I am, and I have been for quite a while. I just like everybody else, want the child returned, want the child safe, want the child back, cut the games, whoever's responsible, do the right thing. Get the child back home.
Exactly.
Then we'll take turns kicking your... Well, never mind.
But I still have this idea that there is some mileage to be gained by putting Misty behind bars. I don't care what it's for. I know that it probably wouldn't stick for a whole lot of time, but it sure would be fun.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, I think, like TJ said, they got to, you know, those that know what's going on have to evaluate whether they could lose whatever it is they're trying to do by, what do you say, winning the battle but losing the war.
Yeah.
The question is, what's the definition of winning and what is the war versus the battle? Again, if the girl can be recovered, then I don't see where there's anything to debate. You get her back.
Yeah.
If it's whether you can charge somebody down the road, maybe for drug dealing or something, I don't know. I'm just saying that whoever's in charge has to evaluate and set a priority and what's most important, and then you got to go with it. Sitting here on the sidelines, 2,500 miles away, My thought is what Simon said, put her under a little more pressure, lock her up, and see what shakes out. But maybe that's not realistic. I just don't know.
I just saw a really, really interesting comment in the chat room. We're short on time, but here it goes. All right. Was the... investigation changed by Kim Picazio and Art Harris representing Ronald?
No, representing Crystal.
Oh, I'm sorry, representing Crystal. You're quite right.
I tell you what, public perception was definitely changed. That was the... you know, like it or not like it, or love it or hate it, Picazio did the job Picazio was supposed to do by making her client appear to be beyond reproach and to make everybody else, you know, look like a stinker in this mess. She did her job, and, you know, I think that only time will tell in the end how it all washes, but you're finding a lot of dirty laundry there on the Sheffield side as of late with the concert thing. Questionable laundry, I should say. Questionable laundry. Not quite as clean as it could be. And a few other things as well are starting to pop up that aren't necessarily the things that you want to have out about your family. So, you know, she did a number on putting the dumper on the Cummings side, that's for sure.
Oh,
she didn't do anything about the case. She did, it's all public perception.
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't like any of it, but, you know, that's just my personal view. you know, we're out of time, so I want to go around the table and get everyone's wrap up. Jan, you're up.
Well, all I can say is we only have a few more days for Christmas. This child needs to be home, and all the other children that are out there missing needs to be home with their families, celebrating Christmas with their families. And we need to bring her home. And I'd like to wish everyone Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year, but just keep your prayers going, please.
Denny.
Yes.
Your wrap-up thoughts.
I echo Jan's sentiments. I hope things work out. I hope they work out soon because the closure is needed one way or the other, and it's needed soon, needed now. And Merry Christmas to everyone.
TJ.
Merry Christmas, everyone. I don't know that I'll be with the panel next week. I'm going to put this case on hold for probably a good 7 days. I'm going to be doing nothing but sharing a lot with my family. It's long overdue. My children in particular, and my grandchildren, anyway. We're going to get to know each other again.
Good
and,
idea.
Whatever happens after that will happen after that. And, you know, good Lord knows best. But we'll be right back on the case. And just everybody find some peace in your heart. I know I'm trying.
This is Simon Barrett, and I want to wish everyone just the best Christmas possible. We've been talking about an ugly subject. Let's find this little girl, let's bring her home, and let's bring her home for Christmas. Goodbye.
Amen. Goodbye.
Amen. Bye.